إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار، وبعد. فقد اختار إمامكم أن يكون الكلام عن أثر المعصية في القلوب، عن أثر المعصية في القلب. نحن نعلم أن النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم بين أن مدار الأمور كلها بالنسبة للعبد على قلبه، فقد روى البخاري ومسلم عن النعمان بن بشير رضي الله تعالى عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم قال: ألا وإن في الجسد مضغة إذا صلحت صلح الجسد كله، وإذا فسدت فسد الجسد كله، ألا وهي القلب، ألا وهي القلب. فإذا صلح القلب صلحت الجوارح، وإذا فسد القلب فسدت الجوارح. والقلب هناك علاقة وثيقة بينه وبين الجوارح، وهذه العلاقة عكسية، يعني كما أن القلب يؤثر في الجوارح فإن الجوارح تؤثر في القلب. وقد روى الترمذي بسند صحيح عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم قال: إذا أذنب العبد ذنبا نكتت في قلبه نكتة سوداء، فإن هو نزع واستغفر وتاب صقلت، وإن هو تمادى تمادت حتى تعلو قلبه، حتى تعلو قلبه. وهو قول الله عز وجل: كلا بران على قلوبهم ما كانوا يكسبون.
بسم الله، الحمد لله، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، the Sheikh, he began with the khutbah al haja. Indeed, the praises to Allah, we praise Him and we seek His assistance and His forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil within ourselves and from our bad deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is none that can lead him astray, and whoever is led astray, there is no guide for him. I bear witness that no God has the right to be worshipped other than Allah. He is alone and has no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad is his slave and his messenger to the end of the khutbatul haja. Amma ba'du. The Shaykh, he said that tonight's talk, it will be concerning the effects, that sin or disobedience have on the heart. And he said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he explained to us the harm that comes to us in our affairs based upon what takes place in the heart, or something similar to that. And then he narrates on Nu'man ibn Bashir that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, is not there in the body a morsel of flesh? If it is correct, then the rest of the body is correct. And if it is corrupt, then the rest of the body is corrupt. Isn't that morsel of flesh the heart? So if the heart is correct, then the rest of the body is correct. And if the heart is corrupt, then the rest of the body is corrupt. And then the Shaykh, hafizahullah, he went to explain that there is an effect, as the heart has an effect on the body parts, also in reverse, the body parts, they have an effect on the heart. And he narrates the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that when a slave of Allah commits a sin, then a black dot is written on his heart. The Prophet ﷺ says that when a servant commits a sin, then a black dot is written on his heart. But if he stays away from that sin and he repents and he seeks forgiveness, then that spot is removed. But if he continues, then it continues until his heart is filled with blackness. And it is, and this is from the statement of Allah Ta'ala, nay, rather, black spots are on their hearts because of what they did, from the surah Al-Mutaffifin.
إذا كان الأمر كذلك فينبغي على الإنسان أن يحذر الوقوع في المعصية. هذا هو الأصل، ألا تفعل المعصية. لأن وقد بين النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم في حديث جابر بن عبد الله رضي الله عنهما الذي أخرجه الإمام مسلم أن العبد يبعث يوم القيامة على ما مات عليه، يبعث كل عبد على ما مات عليه، هذا نص كلامه عليه الصلاة والسلام، يبعث كل عبد على ما مات عليه. فقد تقبض في حال فعلك للمعصية، فتكون الفضيحة في الدنيا والآخرة. تعلمون أن رجلا من أصحاب النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام كان يقف على عرفة في حجة الوداع، فوقع من على ظهر ناقته فوقصته فمات. فقال صلى الله عليه وسلم: غسلوه ولا تطيبوه، وكفنوه في ثوبين ولا تخمروا رأسه، فإنه يبعث يوم القيامة ملبيا. كذلك على الجانب الآخر، لو أن رجلا كان يزني بامرأة، نسأل الله السلامة والعافية، فجاءه ملك الموت وهو على هذه الحالة، فإنه يبعث عليها يوم القيامة. يبقى هذه الحالة الأولى، هذه الخطوة الأولى. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. لا تمت إلا وأنت مسلم. طب وهل يعرف الإنسان متى يموت؟ لا يعرف. ولذلك قال المفسرون والمعنى كن مسلما طائعا لله في كل وقت حتى إذا جاءك الموت لقيت الله عز وجل على الحالة التي يرضاها ولا يرضى غيرها.
بسم الله ما بعد. The Sheikh, he said that if the issue is like that, as he has explained earlier about the every time you commit a sin, then a black dot gets on your heart, and if you continue, then it gets blacker, and if you stop, then it's removed. If it's like that, then it is important for a person to leave off disobedience and the committing of sins. And that is because the angel of death might come to him while he's in a state of committing those sins, and no one wants that. And it's been narrated on Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhuma from the narration of Imam Muslim that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Allah would raise everyone, every servant up on that which he dies upon. So if a person dies on whatever he dies on, then this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to raise him up in that which he dies on. And you all know that it was a man during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when they were making hajj and they were in the state of ihram, and this man, he fell off of his riding animal and he died. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, wash him, but leave him in his same clothing. So the Prophet ﷺ said, wash him and don't put on any oils on him. Don't perfume him. And then shroud him in those two garments that he make the ihram in, and don't cover his clothes, because indeed he will be raised up on Yawmul Qiyamah Mulabbiyan, or making the statement, Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik, Labbaik La Sharika Laka Labbaik, to the end of that talbiyah. So if a person dies while he's committing zina or adultery and fornication, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us and save us from that, then when the angel of death comes to him, then he will be raised on what he died upon. And this is as Allah Ta'ala says, O you who believe, fear Allah as he ought to be feared, and don't die except as Muslims. Meaning, don't let death come to you except that you are a Muslim. And does anyone know the time when he will die? No one knows when he will die. And the ulama of tafsir, they explain on this ayat where Allah says, O you who believe, fear Allah as you ought to be feared, and don't die except as Muslims, that every Muslim, it is necessary that all the time or all of his life that he is living in obedience to Allah Ta'ala, so that whenever death comes to him and he don't know when it will come to him, that whenever it comes to him, he's in a state of being obedient to Allah Ta'ala, and that is how he will be raised up upon.
رقم اثنين، لو أن المسلم في حال المعصية لم يقبض أي لم يمت، فقد يريد التوبة بعد ذلك ولا يستطيع، لا يستطيع أن يتوب، كما قال الله عز وجل: يا أيها الذين آمنوا استجيبوا لله وللرسول إذا دعاكم لما يحييكم، واعلموا أن الله يحول بين المرء وقلبه وأنه إليه تحشرون. فقد يحال بين العبد وبين قلبه، يريد أن يتوب ولا يتمكن من التوبة، فيلقى الله عز وجل مصرا على المعصية. ومن لقي الله عز وجل مصرا على المعصية فليس له عند الله عهد، ليس له عند الله عهد، إن شاء عذبه وإن شاء غفر له. يبقى الأمر الأول، قد تقبض في أثناء المعصية، قد تموت، فإن لم تمت فقد يحال بينك وبين التوبة، لا تستطيع أن تتوب، يحال بينك وبين قلبك. وهذه هي الخطوة الثانية، فلا يستطيع الإنسان أن يتوب حتى يرى ملك الموت. وإذا رأى ملك الموت لا تنفعه التوبة حينئذ. قال الله عز وجل: إنما التوبة على الله للذين يعملون السوء بجهالة ثم يتوبون من قريب فأولئك يتوب الله عليهم وكان الله عليما حكيما. روى الترمذي عن عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله عنهما أن النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم قال: إن الله يقبل توبة العبد ما لم يغرغر، أي ما لم تصل روحه إلى الغرغرة، فإنها إذا وصلت إلى هذا الموضع رأى ملك الموت وتكشفت حجب الغيب وطويت صحيفة أعماله. ولذلك يقول عز وجل بعد ذلك: وليست التوبة للذين يعملون السيئات حتى إذا حضر أحدهم الموت قال: إني تبت الآن ولا الذين يموتون وهم كفار. نعم.
بسم الله. الشيخ يساس a Muslim, he might be in the state of disobedience, and then Allah doesn't take his soul while he's in this state of disobedience or committing sin, and he wants to repent to Allah Ta'ala before Allah takes his life, but he's not able to repent to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala or seek forgiveness. As Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala says: O you who believe, answer the call to Allah and His Messenger when they call you to that which will give you life. And know that Allah stands in between a person and his heart. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might be between a person and his heart when he wants to repent and then he's not able to. So he might meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while he's continuing to be disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or he's in a state of disobedience and he's not able to repent from it, and then he dies in that state without being able to repent. And then if Allah wants to forgive him, Allah will forgive him, and if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to punish him, then Allah would punish him. So a person, he might want to repent, but he's not able to repent until he sees the angel of death in front of him. And then when he sees the angel, he wants to repent. And then there's no repentance at the time that a person sees the angels. As the angel of death. As Allah Ta'ala says, the only repentance to Allah is for those who do wrong out of ignorance, and then they soon repent after that. And he narrates a hadith on the authority of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, collected authentically by Tirmidhi, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, indeed Allah would not accept the repentance or the tawbah of a slave, or Allah would accept the repentance or the tawbah of his servant so long as he didn't gargle. Jazakallahu khair. At the time that the soul is being taken out of his body, at the time that the angel of death comes to him. So that before this time, before the soul is being taken out of your body, then a person has the chance to repent. But at the time that the soul is being taken out of his body, this is the time where he'll see the angel of death. And this is the time that the book of his deeds are closed, and there's no more time for him to repent. As Allah Ta'ala, he says, and there is no repentance for the one who does bad up until the point where he sees death. Up until the time where one of them sees death, and then he says, now I repented.
No. ثالثا هب أن مرتكب المعصية تاب إلى الله عز وجل. من أدراه أن توبته قبلت؟ من أدراه أن توبته قبلت؟ الإنسان حين يعصي الله عز وجل فقد استحق غضب الله عز وجل بيقين، هذا أمر يتأكد منه العبد. ثم إنه إن تاب أو عمل أعمالا صالحة، ما الذي يدريه أن الله عز وجل قبل توبته أو قبل أعماله الصالحة؟ هو في شك من هذا. ولذلك حين سئل ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما عن رجل لا يعصي الله عز وجل ولا يزيد على الفروض، يصلي الفريضة فقط، يصوم الشهر فقط، يحج حج الفريضة فقط، ورجل آخر يعصي الله عز وجل ويأتي بالكثير من النوافل، أيهما أفضل؟ فقال ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما أفضلهما الأول، فإنا لا نعدل بالسلامة شيئا، لا نعدل بالسلامة شيئا. يعني ما دمت لم تعصي الله عز وجل موقفك سليم، إن وقعت في معصيته ما يدريك بعد ذلك هل قبل توبتك أم لا. إن عملت أعمالا صالحة فإن هذه الأعمال لا تكفر الكبائر، وإن كانت تكفر الصغائر. الكبيرة لا بد أن تتوب منها، وهذا مذهب عامة أهل العلم. ومما يدل على ذلك ما أخرجه الإمام أحمد والبخاري في الأدب المفرد بسند صحيح عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن ناسا قالوا يا رسول الله إن فلانة تصوم النهار وتقوم الليل وتفعل وتصدق. قول العرب وتفعل مع عدم ذكرهم للفعل يدل على أنها تفعل أفعالا كثيرة، تفعل وتفعل 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 وتصدق وتؤذي جيرانها بلسانها وإذاية الجاري من الكبائر. فقال صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم لا خير فيها، هي من أهل النار. قالوا وفلانة تصلي المكتوبة وتصدق بأسوار، يعني قطع قليلة من اللبن الجامد، إن شئت فقل من الزبد بتر، ولا تؤذي أحدا. فقال صلى الله عليه وسلم هي من أهل الجنة، هي من أهل الجنة.
Bismillah. The Sheikh says, point number three. Suppose a person who commits disobedience or a sinner, he repents. What will make him realize that his repentance has been accepted? Because every time someone disobeys his Lord, then he really sets himself up for what he deserves of earning the anger of Allah. So if a person repents, then he doesn't know that Allah will accept his repentance. Rather, he's still in doubt, will Allah accept from me my repentance or not? And Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he was asked about a man who did not disobey Allah, and he did not do anything more than that which was compulsory on him to do, from making the salat and fasting and making hajj, fasting the month of Ramadan and making the hajj, and only doing what was an obligation on him. And another man, he disobeyed Allah, but he did or performed a lot of the voluntary deeds. Which person is best? Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he said that the best of those two is the first one. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he said that the first one was better, and that is because there is nothing equivalent to being safe. And that person who didn't commit sins, though he didn't do a lot of extra voluntary deeds, at least he was on the safe side from staying away from disobedience. So if a person does a lot of righteous deeds, if he does a lot of righteous deeds, then those righteous deeds might not be accepted, or that he might have some major sins with it, and those righteous deeds will not wipe away his major sins. But the major sins, the people of knowledge, they agree that the major sins, if a person commits them, then they must repent from committing those major sins. And the evidence for this is what has been collected by Imam Ahmad and Al-Bukhari in his Adab al-Mufrad on the authority of Abu Hurairah, that some people said to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, indeed there is a lady who fasts in the daytime and stands up and makes salat at night, and she does other things, and she gives charity. She does other things. The Arabs, they use this word, she does other things, not mentioning the detail of what she did, to show that she does so many good things, except that she harms her neighbor with her tongue. So the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when they asked about her, there is no good in this lady, and she is from the people of the hellfire. And they said, what about a lady who fasts or who makes salat, the compulsory salat, and she only gives a little bit in charity, a little bit of butter or something like that, and she doesn't harm anyone? And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, she is from the people of Jannah.
فإذا وقع الإنسان في المعصية فينبغي أن يبادر بالتوبة كما قال الله عز وجل حاكيا عن المتقين والذين إذا فعلوا فاحشة أو ظلموا أنفسهم ذكروا الله فاستغفروا لذنوبهم ومن يغفر الذنوب إلا الله ولم يصروا على ما فعلوا وهم يعلمون. ولذلك يقول صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا أذنب العبد ذنبا نكتت في قلبه نكتة سوداء. الحديث الذي ذكرناه. فإن هو نزع أي أقلع عن هذا الذنب واستغفر أي طلب من الله عز وجل أن يغفر له هذه المعصية أو هذا الذنب وألا يعاقبه عليه وتاب يعني قرر ألا يعود أزيل هذا السواد. وإن هو تمادى في المعصية اتسع هذا السواد حتى يحيط بالقلب. أليس هذا الحديث موافقا لقول الله تعالى في سورة الكهف ومن أظلم ممن ذكر بآيات ربه فأعرض عنها ونسي ما قدمت يداه إنا جعلنا على قلوبهم أكنة أن يفقهوه وفي آذانهم وقرا وإن تدعهم إلى الهدى فلن يهتدوا إذا أبدا. في الحديث يطابق الآية تماما. ومن أظلم ممن ذكر بآيات ربه فأعرض عنها ونسي ما قدمت يداه إنا جعلنا على قلوبهم أكنة أن يفقهوا هذا هو السواد وفي آذانهم وقرا وإن تدعهم إلى الهدى فلن يهتدوا إذا أبدا. نعم يا أخي.
بسم الله. The Shaykh, he says, so when a person commits sins or disobedience, then he should hurry to repentance. And this is as Allah Ta'ala, He says, and for the one who does bad or wrong himself, then he seeks forgiveness of his sins. And who will forgive the sins except Allah? And he doesn't continue in committing those sins while he knows better. And as we have mentioned the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam earlier, that when a servant commits sins, then a black spot is written on his heart. And if he pulls away and stops committing those sins, then it is removed. And if he continues in making those sins, then his heart will continue to get black until his whole heart is blackened.
استمر على المعصية اتسع هذا السواد حتى يحيط بالقلب فيصاب القلب بالعمى. قلت وهذا يوافق تماما قول الله عز وجل في سورة الكهف ومن أظلم ممن ذكر بآيات ربه فأعرض عنها. أنا طلعت سورة الكهف هي بس ومن أظلم ممن ذكر بآيات ربه النتيجة عندها قلها إن شاء الله نعم عليك إن شاء الله بشكل غير رقم كان
The Shaykh is saying that this hadith that we quoted about the black spot being on the heart and then removed if you repent and then continuing until your heart is blackened. The Shaykh is saying that this hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's exactly what Allah Ta'ala is mentioning in this ayah in Surah Al-Kahf, where He says, and whoever and who is more wrong than the one who the ayat of his Lord is mentioned and then he turns away from it and then he forgets about what he has already did of his deeds. Indeed, we have placed a covering over their heart so that they don't understand, and in their ears is a block so that they don't hear. And the Shaykh is saying that something is over their heart so that they don't understand, and that something over their heart, this is that blackness that the Prophet ﷺ is mentioning of the sins, that it covers the heart with these black dots until the heart is covered, and then it prevents a person from understanding.
فآخر ما أريد أن أقوله أنه ينبغي عليك يجب عليك أن تجتنب المعصية أصلا، فإن وقعت في المعصية فسارع بالتوبة، سارعوا إلى مغفرة من ربكم مهما كثرت المعاصي، سارع بالتوبة إلى الله عز وجل. قال الله عز وجل في سورة الزمر: قل يا عبادي الذين أسرفوا على أنفسهم لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله. لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله. قل يا عبادي الذين أسرفوا على أنفسهم لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله إن الله يغفر الذنوب جميعا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. وأنيبوا إلى ربكم، هذا هو الشرط. جزاكم الله خيرا. هذا هو الشرط، أنيبوا إلى ربكم، أي ارجعوا إلى ربكم مرة أخرى عسى أن يقبلكم، وتوبوا إليه عسى أن يتوب عليكم. وأقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم.
الشيخ ends it with a statement. He says, and it is an obligation on everyone to stay far away from committing sins. And if any one of you falls into committing a sin, then he should hurry to perform tawbah and to seek repentance for his sin. And every sin that is committed, then a person should seek to make tawbah from these sins that he commits. As Allah Ta'ala says in Surah Zumar, say, O my servants, those who have transgressed the bounds against their souls, never despair of the mercy of Allah. Indeed, Allah forgives all sins. Indeed, He is Al-Ghafur Rahim. He's the most forgiving and the most merciful. And repent to your Lord, or and turn to your Lord in repentance another time. Perhaps He might accept this repentance from you. This is what I wanted to say. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabina Muhammad. I just wanted to add, as I'm not usually the one to do the translation of on the spot, it takes some practice, of which I don't have. So if there's anything correct, then it's from Allah, and if there's any mistakes and shortcomings, then it's from me. Wa astaghfirullah alladhi la ilaha ghayr. I don't know if the brothers, if they had, or the sisters, if they had any questions. Inshallah, we'll try to take some time to entertain some of those questions now, inshallah, tabarak wa ta'ala. Chevy Malibu, they're blocking somebody. No. The brother, he wants the Sheikh to clarify what he means by a person is not able to make Tawbah.
يصرف عن التوبة، يصرف عنها كلما أراد أو كلما أحب أن يتوب، كالذي يدخن. الذي يدخن يشعر بأن الدخان السجائر تضره ويود أن يمتنع عنها ولا يستطيع، وكان يستطيع أن يفعل ذلك بعد السجارة الأولى، بعد الثانية، بعد الثالثة، لكنه لما تمادى في الأمر يشعر بالضرر وبأنها تكلفه أموالا ويود أن يتخلص منها ولا يستطيع. هذا مثال.
The Sheikh, he says that for that person who is turned away from repentance, or how could a person commit a sin and not be able to repent? The Sheikh, he says that the person, he's turned away from repentance, or he's turned away from tawbah, to the point that every time he wants to repent, he's just not able to repent. And then he gave the example. He said, you know, like when someone's smoking cigarettes. Alright, he wants to repent, but every time he smokes, he just wants to smoke some more. And if he really wanted to repent, or if a person wants to repent from it, he can repent after the first cigarette. But you know, he got to get the second one, and he could repent after that, but he wants the third one. and then maybe feels like he's going to repent after a certain amount or something, and a person is just kept away from repenting or something like that. I don't know if that's clear. Nah.
هل ما هي شروط التوبة؟
The brother he wants the sheikh to mention what are the conditions of tawbah.
إذا كان الذنب متعلقا بالله عز وجل فقط فيشترط للتوبة أربعة شروط. الشرط الأول الإقلاع عن الذنب. الشرط الثاني الندم على ما فات. الشرط الثالث العزم على عدم العودة، يعني متعلقة بأزمنة الفعل الثلاثة: الحاضر والماضي والمستقبل. والشرط الرابع أن تكون التوبة في وقتها الذي تقبل فيه، لا كما قال الله عز وجل: حتى إذا جاء أحدهم الموت قال رب ارجعون لعلي أعمل صالحا فيما تركت، قال رب ارجعون لعلي أعمل صالحا فيما تركت كلا إلى آخر الآيات. وإن كان الذنب متعلقا بحقوق العباد فلا بد أن تؤدي هذه الحقوق، أو أن تتحللهم منها، أن تستسمحهم. وإن كان هذا متعذرا فعليك أن تدعو الله عز وجل لهم. نعم.
The Sheikh he says that there are four conditions of tawbah if the sin has a relationship with Allah only, or that Allah Ta'ala is the only one affected or disobeyed or something like that. He says the first condition is that the person stops committing the sin. And secondly, he feels sad for committing that sin, or regretful that he ever committed the sin in the first place. And that he decides not to commit the sin ever again. And this is the past, right now, and the present. Meaning he feels bad for what took place in the past of committing that sin, and right now he stops committing the sin, and in the future he's decided that he won't commit that sin again. And then the fourth condition is that he repents during the time that repentance is accepted. That means that he repents before the gargling of his spirit coming out of him. And this is Allah Ta'ala says, until death comes to one of them and he says, oh my Lord, let me go back so that I might do some good deeds that I didn't do before. Allah says never. I mean, never will he go back and have an opportunity to do the good deeds that he didn't do in this world while he had the chance. Then if that sin is related to one of the servants of Allah Ta'ala, and then he must give that one his right back from the servants of Allah Ta'ala, or to have that person overlook and forgive him for what he committed of a sin related to that person, and then he should make dua for him. If the questions are related to the topic or not related to the topic, inshallah, the Sheikh will try to handle those questions. Nah.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله. The brother is asking, do you have to make tawbah for every sin you commit, or do you just make one tawbah for all the sins you committed? Alright, phrase all of that again then, and one little thing so I can remember. Because I'm just trying to phrase your question, it seems like that's the phrasing of your question. I'm just saying, what in my statement and summarizing your statement isn't going to... What am I missing out of your thing? You said, can you repent one time for everything you did? Of course, that's covering in the past. Everything you did is before right now. Right? Alright. If you're going to make one repentance now, do you make a repentance for every sin? Okay. Didn't I just say that? Or is there something else you want? No, if there's something other than that, then add that, but it looks like you're coming back to the same thing. No, go ahead.
إن تاب مرة واحدة عن جميع ما فعل فهذه هي التوبة النصوح التي قال فيها رب العزة تبارك وتعالى توبوا إلى الله توبة نصوحة فتغفر له جميع الذنوب وإن تاب من ذنب معين فقط وأصر على غيره من الذنوب غفر له هذا الذنب دون غيره من الذنوب. نعم.
The Sheikh says if he repents one time for all of his sins, then this is a sincere repentance. The repentance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions when he says, repent to Allah with a sincere repentance, then this is it, where he repents for everything that he did. As far as the one who repents for one sin that he committed, or a particular sin, then he has, inshallah, he will be forgiven of that one sin, and he will be held accountable for all of his other sins.
بقيت هناك نقطة تابعة هذا السؤال إذن لي. لكن الإنسان منا يرتكب الكثير من الصغائر ولا يفكر حتى في التوبة منها. يعني مثلا النظرة إلى المرأة الأجنبية هذه صغيرة، لكن إنسان غالبا لا يتوب من هذه الصغائر، غالبا لا يتوب منها، لا يطلب المغفرة من الله عز وجل. طيب، إن اجتنب الكبائر غفر الله عز وجل له كل هذه الصغائر. إن اجتنب الكبائر، إن تجتنبوا كبائر ما تنهون عنه، إن تجتنبوا كبائر ما تنهون عنه نكفر عنكم سيئاتكم. يبقى هناك كبائر إن اجتنبناها كفر الله عز وجل لنا ذنوبا أخرى وهي الصغائر. فشوف الميزة، ينبغي أن نتوب من الكبائر الكبيرة، من أخطر ما يمكن، لأن الإنسان إذا زنى هذه كبيرة يشعر بذنب ويستغفر ويتوب إلى الله ويؤدي أعمالا صالحة، لكن الصغيرة لا يكاد يشعر بها فيأتي أو يرتكب الكثير منها ويفاجأ بها يوم القيامة، أحصاه الله ونسوه. ما لهذا الكتاب؟ أحصاه الله ونسوه. ما لهذا الكتاب؟ لا يغادر صغيرة ولا كبيرة إلا أحصاها. فأنت اهتم بمسألة الكبائر، أي كبيرة بتعملها تب إلى الله عز وجل منها حتى يغفر لك الصغائر التي لا تلتفت إليها أصلا. نعم.
The Shaykh, he said he wanted to add to this another point, and that is that the human being, he might do a lot of small or minor sins that he doesn't pay attention to. Like the issue of just looking at a lady was not permissible to him. That's a smaller sin. And maybe he won't repent from this smaller sin. But if he stays away from the committing of major sins, then these minor sins will be forgiven of him. As Allah Ta'ala, He says, if you stay away from the major sins that you have been prohibited, then we will forgive you or wipe away your smaller sins. So if a person repents from his major sins, then this is what is desired of him, so that his minor sins will be forgiven also. And there's nothing that a person should be worried about more than committing these major sins. Like if a person committed zina, for example, then he should hurry to repent from this sin, and then he can have the rest of his sins forgiven. But those smaller sins, maybe you don't even think about it. Allah has remembered it or taken it into account, and you have forgot these smaller sins. Or as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that the people will say on Yawm al-Qiyamah, what is this book that hasn't forgot anything smaller or bigger? So a person should be worried about his major sins, to make sure he repents from all of his major sins and to stay away from the major sins, because if he does this, then his smaller sins would be forgotten. No. The brother is saying that if someone is engrossed in the committing of sins, then it prevents him from understanding the message when it's brought to him. So every time you call him to what's correct, then he doesn't see it and he continues in his sins. What can you do with that person?
المصر على المعصية ينبغي أن نذكره بالله تعالى وأن نخوفه من المصير يوم القيامة، ولو بذكر شيء من التفصيل فيما يتعلق بعذاب القبر والعذاب الذي يلقاه في البرزخ، كالحديث الذي أخرجه الإمام البخاري من حديث سمرة بن جندب رضي الله تعالى عنه، أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم رأى رجالا ونساء عراء في تنور متسع من أسفل وضيق من أعلى، التنور هو الفرن، اللهب يشتد شيئا فشيئا فيدفعهم إلى أعلى هذا التنور، فإذا اشتد اللهب ضوضوا أي صرخوا صراخا هستيريا، حتى إذا وصلوا إلى أعلى وظنوا أنهم يخرجون من التنور خفت اللهب شيئا فشيئا حتى يستقر بهم في قاع التنور مرة أخرى. نسأل الله السلام. فلما سأل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم جبريل من هؤلاء, قال هؤلاء الزناة. الزناة هو يقضي شهوة, هذه الشهوة تستغرق دقائق, مهما كثر زمنها فهي دقائق, ثم بعد ذلك يعذب في البرزخ عذابا لا يعلم شدته إلا الله, لكن لك أن تتصوره من هذا الحديث. ثم يوم القيامة هو في مشيئة الله عز وجل, إن شاء الله عذبه وإن شاء غفر له. ذكره بكل ذلك, فإن كان فيه خير سيخاف وسيرتدع, وإن لم يكن فيه خير فاهجره, قاطعه في الله عسى أن يرده ذلك, فإن لم يرده ذلك فأنت تحمي قلبك, تحمي قلبك وتظهر هذه الشعيرة العظيمة, أعني الأمر بالمعروف والنهي عن المنكر. نعم.
The Sheikh, he said, pertaining to the one who does so much sin that when you call him it doesn't benefit him, he says, remind him anyway and call him to fear his final abode on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And if you like to remind him of some of the details of the punishment of the grave or how his life will be in the barzakh, like the hadith of Samura ibn Jundub,
no.
where he said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam radiallahu anhu, where he said the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw naked men and women in a furnace, and the coals were getting hotter and hotter.
في تنور متسع من أسفل وضيق من أعلى, اللهب يدفعهم إلى أعلى فيصرخون.
نعم. This furnace where the naked men and women are and the coals are getting hotter, these coals are pushing the people up to the top, and this furnace is wide at the bottom and it's narrow at the top. So as it's burning and getting hotter and the heat is pushing them up and out of the furnace, and they're screaming. So just as it's about to push them out of the furnace, the coals start dying down again, and then they start coming all the way back down, and then this is repeated over and over again. And then the Prophet ﷺ asked, who are those people? And they said, those who commit zina. And he said, whoever commits this zina, no matter how many times he commits it, it only equals up to a couple of minutes anyway. But afterwards, there's a punishment that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the seriousness of, like the mentioning of this punishment right here. And then on Yawm al-Qiyamah, he's under the will of Allah. If Allah wants to forgive him, then he can forgive him. And if Allah doesn't want to, he doesn't have to. So you remind this person, and if there's any good in this person, then this reminder will benefit him. And if there's no good in him, then this reminder won't benefit him. So stay away from this person for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. And then if you boycott him and it's still not benefiting him, then it's your job to stay on top of enjoining what is right and forbidding what is wrong, or something like that. Yes. The brother is asking, if someone is committing a sin and then he commits it again because he doesn't know that it's a sin, so he doesn't repent from it, will Allah forgive him from committing this sin or not?
نعم، من ارتكب معصية ولو ألف مرة وهو يجهل أنها معصية فإن الله عز وجل لا يؤاخذه على ذلك. قال الله تعالى: وما كنا معذبين حتى نبعث رسولا. وأمر نبيه صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم أن يقول: وأوحي إلي هذا القرآن لأنذركم به أنتم الذين تسمعونني ومن بلغ. فالذي ينذر بالقرآن هو الذي سمعه من النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام ومن بلغه هذا القرآن. فالعبد لا يؤاخذ إلا بعد العلم، لكنه إن كان مشركا ومات على الشرك قبل أن تصله دعوة التوحيد فهذا يختبر يوم القيامة على ما هو معروف في حديث الأسود بن سريع رضي الله تعالى عنه. يأتيه رسول يوم القيامة من قبل الله عز وجل ويقول له: اذهب إلى النار، إن الله يأمرك أن تدخل النار. فإن كان من الناجين قال: سمعت وأطعت، هذا أمر ربي لا أخالفه. وإن كان من المجرمين فسيأبى قبول أمر الله عز وجل. نعم.
Sheikh Abdullah says that if a person committed a sin or he committed 1,000 sins and he didn't know that that was a sin, then he won't be held accountable for it. As Allah Ta'ala, He says, and we will not punish until we send a messenger to them. Or as Allah Ta'ala, He says about the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and it has been revealed to me, and this Quran has been revealed to me so that I will warn by it and whoever it reaches. Meaning whoever reaches this message, then he will be held accountable for this message when it reaches him. So if a person did not have any knowledge of a particular thing, then he will not be held accountable. Except if a person is a mushrik or a disbeliever, and he dies in that state before the mentioning of a tawheed has come to him, or before the message of Islam comes to him, and then he will be tested on Yawm al-Qiyamah with the test that is well known from the hadith where the Prophet ﷺ, he said, it will be said to them to go to the on Yawm al-Qiyamah to those people, enter into the fire. And the people who are successful, they'll say, we hear and we obey. And the people who were sinners or criminals, then they will disobey this commandment or something like that. No. No. The brother, he's asking, what are some of the things that will help keep a person away from committing major sins?
أول شيء أن يختار الرفقة الصالحة فالصحبة لها أثر عميق في سلوكيات العبد. وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: المرء على دين خليله، فلينظر أحدكم من يخالل. وفي حديث أبي موسى الأشعري رضي الله عنه الذي أخرجه البخاري أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: مثل الجليس الصالح وجليس السوء كحامل المسك ونافخ الكير. فحامل المسك إما أن يحذيك يعطيك على سبيل الهدية، وإما أن تبتاع منه، وإما أن تجد منه ريحا طيبة، يعني لابد من خير. ونافخ الكير إما أن يحرق ثيابك، وإما أن تجد منه ريحا خبيثة، يعني لابد من شر حتى وإن دق. الصحبة، قال الله عز وجل للنبي عليه الصلاة والسلام: واصبر نفسك. والصبر هو الحبس، يعني معنى الآية: واحبس نفسك مع الذين يدعون ربهم بالغداة والعشي يريدون وجهه، إلى آخر الآيات. فهذا عامل من أهم العوامل. العامل الثاني: أن تكثر من قراءة القرآن وتدبر الآيات. فالقرآن هو غذاء الروح والقلب، كما أن الطعام غذاء البدن. قال الله عز وجل: الذين آمنوا وتطمئن قلوبهم بذكر الله. ألا بذكر الله تطمئن القلوب. العامل الثالث: أن ترحل من بلد المعصية، من البلد التي تعمل فيها المعصية، إلى بلد آخر، أن تتحول، أن تهاجر. فقد ثبت في الصحيحين من حديث أبي سعيد الخدري رضي الله عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: إن رجلا ممن كان قبلكم قتل 99 نفسا، فسأل عن أعلم أهل الأرض، فدل على رجل عابد، فقال له: إني قتلت 99 نفسا، فهل لي من توبة؟ قال: لا. فقتله فأتم به 100، ثم سأل عن أعلم أهل الأرض، فدل على رجل عالم، فسأله فقال له: ومن يحول بينك وبين التوبة؟ من الذي يستطيع أن يحول بينك وبين رحمة الله عز وجل؟ ومن يحول بينك وبين التوبة؟ اذهب إلى أرض كذا فاعبد الله تعالى فيها، فإن فيها قوما صالحين، ولا ترجع إلى أرضك فإنها أرض سوء. فخرج الرجل لم يعمل شيئا بعد غير أنه خرج تنفيذا لكلام العالم، فمات في الطريق، فاختصمت فيه ملائكة الرحمة وملائكة العذاب. انظر إلى قول كل فريق. ملائكة العذاب يقولون: إنه لم يعمل خيرا قط. وملائكة الرحمة يقولون: لقد جاء مقبلا بقلبه على ربه. هذا ما فعله فقط، جاء مقبلا بقلبه على ربه. الحديث المهم أن الله عز وجل رحم هذا الرجل وكان من نصيب ملائكة الرحمة. نعم.
The Shaykh, he said that the first thing that you can do to prevent yourself from committing sins or disobedience is by choosing righteous companionship, as this will have a magnificent effect on preventing you from committing sins. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, a person is on the deen of his close friend, so look at who he takes as his close friend. Where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, the example of a righteous companion and the example of a bad companion is like the example of the one who sells oils and perfumes and the example of a blacksmith. The one who sells oils and perfumes, either he will give you some of what he has, or you will smell the good fragrance when you go to him. And this means, whatever the case is, you can only get from him good. And the example of the blacksmith is that he will either burn your clothes or you'll get a nasty smell. Meaning, however you look at it, that you'll only get bad from that person. And Allah Ta'ala, He advises His Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, be patient with yourself or prevent yourself except to be with those people who are calling on their Lord in the morning and in the evening, only desiring His face. So this is the first thing in having good companions to prevent you from doing wrong. The second thing is to read the Quran. Just as food is nutrition for the body, then the recitation of the Quran is nutrition for the soul. As Allah Ta'ala, He says, for those who believe and their heart is comforted with the remembrance of Allah, doesn't the remembrance of Allah comfort the heart? And the third thing is that he leaves the land of disobedience and he goes to the land where the people are doing right. And this is as the Prophet ﷺ narrates in the authentic hadith, that there was a man from amongst the men who came before you who killed 99 people. So he asked about the most knowledgeable person on earth, and they sent him to a person from the Jews and the Christians. And he told them that there is no forgiveness for you for killing so many people. So he killed that person too, and it made 100. So he asked, or he was showed to, or asked about the most knowledgeable person, so he was showed to an alim, someone who knew the deen. So he said to him, and who can prevent, or who can prevent you from coming in between Tawbah or repentance to Allah Ta'ala? So what you have to do is go to the land so and so and worship Allah in that land, because in that land there are a group of people who are righteous, and don't go back to the place where you killed the people, because that land is full of bad people. So while he was on his way to the land to worship Allah with the righteous, death overtook him. And then the angels of mercy and the angels of punishment were discussing his case, saying, the angels of punishment said, he didn't do any good in his life ever, and we deserve to take him. And the angels of mercy said that he wanted to do good. And then as the hadith goes, that the angels of mercy took him because he wanted to do right by being with the people who were right.
هناك معذرة, هناك أمر أخير كان ينبغي أن يكون الأول, أن تستعين بالله عز وجل قبل كل شيء, فهو خالق الأسباب ولا حول ولا قوة إلا به, أن تدعو الله عز وجل كما كان النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام يفعل, قل الله عز وجل أن يعافيك من هذا الذنب وأن يتوب عليك. نعم.
The Shaykh, he said, I should have mentioned something that I'll mention now, that I should have mentioned it as the first point. That is that you seek assistance in Allah. As Allah is the creator of everything that takes place, and you ask Allah and make dua to Allah that Allah helps you and save you from committing those sins.
الوقاية من الذنوب.
ها؟ يس. Wait, let's let the brother out. Let me get clarity from the brother. Are you asking about a girl's name? Tell me he's not going to tell us. No, the brother, let the brother explain his case. SubhanAllah. I ain't saying that what you're saying, he says, is not the case. But the brother knows what he means more than somebody else. Ain't nobody looking in his heart. So let the brother make it clear what he says. Inshallah ta'ala, so we can ask the brother.
الرقية جائزة بالقرآن وبكل كلام ليس فيه معصية للرب عز وجل، فبالقرآن وبالأذكار التي يمجد فيها رب العزة تبارك وتعالى. ولذلك قال النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام: اعرضوا علي رقاكم، اعرضوا علي رقاكم، أي لينظر في الصحيح منها من غير الصحيح. اعرضوا علي رقاكم، ومن استطاع أن ينفع أخاه فليفعل، ومن استطاع منكم أن ينفع أخاه فليفعل. ولذلك كره أهل العلم، لأنه عليه السلام قال اعرضوا علي رقاكم، كره أهل العلم أن تكون الرقية بمحرم أو شيء فيه شرك أو بكلام مبهم لا يعرف معناه، لأنه لا يؤمن أن يكون محرما أو شركا. ثلاثة. نعم.
The brother, he was asking about ruqya, or how someone could be healed from whatever is afflicting him by words. And the Sheikh, he says that this ruqya, or the healing by words, is permissible if those words are the Quran, the speech of Allah, or that they are a speech that does not have disobedience to Allah in it, from the different dhikrs or adhkar. And the Prophet ﷺ, he says, show me your different types of ruqyas, or the different types of speeches that you use to heal people, or the different types of words that you use to heal people. The Shaykh, he explains, the Prophet ﷺ is saying this, so he's saying, show me what you use so I can see what is okay and what's not. And the Prophet ﷺ goes on to say, so whoever amongst you has the ability to benefit his brother, then benefit his brother. And the people of knowledge, they dislike that this ruqya, or these words, are from that which is haram, or that which is shirk, or that which is words that are not clear, or vague, or ambiguous. I wanted to add something. I want to ask the Shaykh on that. As I think I heard some of the people of knowledge saying that those words that are ambiguous, are not clear, are words in any other language other than Arabic.
لا هذا لا يصح. الكلام المبهم هو الذي لا يعرف المرقي معناه. يعني أنا الراقي وأبو مسلم هو الذي يرقى. فالكلام المبهم هو الذي لا يعرف أبو مسلم معناه إلا أن يكون الذي يرقيه مأمونا ثقة عدلا وهو لا يعرف اللغة العربية. هو لا يعرف اللغة العربية مثلا وأنا لابد أن أرقيه بكلام الله عز وجل بالقرآن بصحيح السنة وما إلى ذلك. فإن كنت عدلا مأمونا في ديني جاز له أن يمكنني من أن أرقيه حتى ولو كان لا يفهم كلامي. واضح الكلام؟ واضح الله؟ الإجابة مركبة من جزئين. هل الكلام المبهم الذي لا يعرف معناه الذي يكون بغير العربية؟ لا. الكلام المبهم هو الذي لا تعرف معناه. طيب هل هذا الأمر على إطلاقه؟ لا. إن كان الذي يرقي عدلا مأمونا دينا جاز لك أن تمكنه من أن يرقيك، وإن كنت لا تعرف ماذا يقول قد تكون الرقية سرا وقد يرقيك باللغة العربية وبالقرآن وأنت لا تعرف العربية. واضح المراد؟
الله يحفظك. He said that the speech that is not clear is not referring to the languages other than Arabic. But a speech that is not clear is referring to
كان الذي يرقيه مأمونا هو قد يرقيه بالعربية وهو لا يعرف العربية.
نعم بارك الله فيك. أسأل الله عز وجل أن يعلمنا وإياكم.
آمين. Okay. The speech that is not clear is the speech that is not clear to the one who has been afflicted with something. The speech that someone is using on him to cure him, if it's not clear to him, then that's the speech that's not permissible. Except in one case. If the one who has been afflicted with something that's seeking to be cured by this ruqya or by these words, if he doesn't understand it, and it's from the Quran or from Islam and it's permissible, but he doesn't understand it because he doesn't know Arabic, for example, but he trusts and he feels that the one who's doing this is reliable, even if he doesn't understand, in this case, then it is permissible because it's still in accordance to Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. No. sometimes, you know, if I'm repeating somebody's question, if it's short, it's easier to repeat it. And if it's longer, I'll just summarize, inshallah. You call someone to Islam, he accepts Islam, and then he doesn't get a chance to practice anything because he dies. What's the case of that person?
هذا الرجل الذي نطق الشهادتين ينوي بهما الإسلام ثم مات على إثر ذلك مسلم مخلد في الجنة بالإجماع، ومن شك في إسلامه كفر. نقل الإجماع أبو محمد بن حزم رحمه الله في كتابه الإحكام في أصول الأحكام. لو أن رجلا نصرانيا عاش طوال عمره لا يقدر على مسلم إلا قتله، ولا على مسلمة إلا اغتصبها وزنى بها، يشرب الخمر ويأكل الخنزير ويعبد الصليب، ثم إنه قبل أن يموت نطق الشهادتين ينوي بهما الإسلام، مات مسلما بالإجماع وكان مخلدا في الجنة بالإجماع، ومن شك في إسلامه كان كافرا بالإجماع.